In our last segment, we discussed resilience, which is your ability to bounce back in the face of adversity. In today's segment, we'll be talking about a practical model of well-being and resilience using this plant. So if you consider this plant as a model for you, we know that if we have a plant who's not flowering or a plant that's not blossoming, do we blame the plant? So we really can't blame a plant if the plant isn't blossoming. So I'm hoping that you're making the connection that you are the plant. So if you are not blossoming, what is it that we have to look at? So we definitely have to look at the environment of this plant. So firstly, we want to look at the vessel, the pot of the plant. And that is, do you fit? Do you belong? So we all need a sense of belonging, and if we can refer back to our last segment in terms of resilience being your internal and your external resources, our external resources are our support network, our family, our friends. So again, looking at our plant, we know that it's got roots, it's got the long root, which represents our culture, our ancestry, and of course then our core family. So we need a healthy long root to get to all the nutrients and to be a healthy plant. But we also need your side, your natural roots. And that refers to the rest of your community, your friends. So whether we're integrated in society or not, and we know that we are more resilient in the face of adversity. So if you're facing whatever adversity, it can be unemployment, it can be feeling sad, depressed or lonely, it can maybe be, you know, having an illness, maybe being COVID positive, we know that if you've got a support network, that you're more likely to bounce back. We of course also want to look at your soil. And the soil of this plant refers to our nutrients. And we know that of course, there is a link between what you eat and your well-being. Now, specifically for mental health, there are some nutrients that are really, really good for optimal well-being. And we're looking at your omegas. We know that omegas are brain food, so specifically omegas 3, and then also 6 and 9. And then we also want to look at, of course, magnesium and zinc. And I know Namibians always say we get so much sunlight, but we found with so many people suffering from depression, actually they have a vitamin D deficiency. So getting some vitamin D, you get vitamin D sprays that are really, really great. And then of course, also just for some energy, you want to take a vitamin B complex in the morning to give you a little bit more energy. And then really what is brand new science is something called the brain-gut connection. And what they've recently found in the last few years really is that we've got a second brain in our gut. So it's really, really fascinating that our happy hormone is serotonin, and serotonin is what you get in an antidepressant. So they're known as SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and antidepressants actually help your body to optimize your serotonin use more better so that you don't have this chemical imbalance. Now we know that probiotics produces serotonin. So if you've got a healthy gut, it's those microbes in your gut that actually produce the hormones that our brain need, or the neurochemicals that our brain need to be happy. So get yourself a probiotic, ideally one that's a 10 strain, ideally one that you keep in the fridge, because then you know that it's alive. And you want to take a therapeutic dose. That means for the first month, take it daily, just to build up that very healthy gut biome. And then after that, we just want to do a maintenance dose. So that's taking a probiotic once every 3 or 4 days. And I highly recommend that you read up on the brain-gut connection. And then the next thing we want to consider when we look at our plant, or ourselves, of course, is your water levels. So water is, what do you thirst for? And that is purpose and meaning. We all need a why in our lives. So of course, if you have a purpose and you've got something that drives you, you're more likely then to be resilient in the face of adversity, because you've got something that will motivate you to push through. So then we also want to look at sunshine. Where do you shine? Where do you feel like you get seen? So that refers to our talents, but also whether our talents are acknowledged. So for example, if you sing very, very well, but your family doesn't think that you sing very well, you're obviously not shining, so you're not in your element. So the sunshine really means using our talents, but also being validated, being seen. So where do you feel seen? Where do you feel acknowledged in your life? That will be your sunshine. And again, looking at our plant, we know that plants have different patterns. So we know during the day they produce oxygen, at night it's carbon dioxide. So that refers to our circadian rhythm, which we all do, us as human beings as well. And that refers really to our movement and to sleep. So for you to be mentally well, we all do need exercise. Now, particularly when we looked at stress last week and we were looking at that buildup of the soda bottle, all of that adrenaline and cortisol, those stress hormones, if we can get those out of our system, you're more likely then to respond resiliently. So they say 10 minutes of exercise, guys, 10 minutes of exercise equals an antidepressant. So 10 minutes of exercise is something we can all commit to. That can be a walk around your block. It can just be you doing some yoga at home, but get some movement. And then of course, really referring to sleep. So we know that sleep is perhaps the most important factor when it comes to well-being. And if we're not sleeping, you're going to wake up irritable and groggy. You won't be able to concentrate and focus as well. So obviously your job productivity will be affected. And then of course, we're also going to be quite irritable. So it will disrupt our relationships. And then obviously, because we're also now tired, you don't have the energy to go get your exercise, which means again, all the irritability and the stress hormones in your body stay. So you're not going to sleep as well at night. So it's going to form this vicious cycle of sleeplessness and insomnia. So really trying to make sure that you get a really good pattern of sleep, going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time in the morning. This helps your brain just know when to fall asleep, and trying to, you know, watch the sunrise and watch the sunset. That allows the light into our eyes. That really resets your circadian pattern. So really looking at that, if we're going to look at holistically, what are the factors that make us optimally well? You definitely want to look at your support structure. You want to look at your food, your nutrients, what you're eating, as well as your water intake. You want to look at using your skills, having a why, and just making sure that you sleep well and that you exercise well. And we know that there is a genetic predisposition for mental illness. But if we're not doing all of these things, we're really not giving ourselves a fighting chance. So to look at perhaps other lists of things we can do for optimal well-being. If we want to make sure that we are psychologically at our best, we can also obviously have some hacks. And these hacks will include having daily goals. So these we call SMART goals, and SMART goals are specific goals. They are measurable, so you can measure your outcome and your progress, and they're attainable. So you want to have realistic little goals, not big goals, but little goals that you can achieve every single day, because that produces dopamine. And dopamine is our sense of motivation, our sense of achievement, and that makes you feel really, really good. So set yourself some daily goals and try and do these things first thing in the day, so you can start feeling motivated. And then this is really how I start my day, is with a gratitude practice. So remembering to, when you wake up and you open your eyes, just feel grateful for being able to open your eyes. And then think of a few things in your life, one or two things that you feel grateful for. Not big things, little things, right? So, you know, the fact that you're waking up in the same bed every single day. Gratitude produces serotonin, and serotonin, again, like we saw with the probiotics, those are our happy hormones in terms of contentment. So the more that we are grateful for our lives, the more you will also then produce the serotonin, and the more that you will feel content in your life. As we saw in our last segment, for improved resilience, we also want our internal resources to be better, and those internal resources are our mindset. So how do we cultivate a positive mindset? So a really good skill for that is journaling. Journaling helps us to have more awareness of what we're thinking, and it also really just helps us sometimes vent and think through situations. So I myself don't love journaling, but I have to say, whenever there's something difficult I have to discuss with a friend or to think out, journaling is an incredible tool just to gain some greater insight and awareness. And perhaps the most powerful awareness creation tool is meditation. Now we get many forms of meditation, like transcendental meditation, which uses chanting or singing. And those are great to distract you from your mind and kind of push those negative thoughts out of your mind. But perhaps in the long term, a better tool would be mindfulness meditation. So mindfulness meditation allows us to cultivate this ability to remove ourselves and simply observe our thoughts, our emotions, and the sensations in our body. So this watcher of the mind, this observer, really helps us to notice in the long term patterns of response. So I'll notice perhaps when I have this conversation with this particular person that it makes my heart rate increase, and it helps me realize, you know, what my habitual emotions would be. And in the long term, it helps us then to change those responses, to have a greater awareness of our patterning. It also really helps us to cultivate kindness, non-judgment, and compassion. So that when our mindset is quite negative, that you can actually be nice with yourself and kind to yourself, and not just yourself, but then also people around you. Also added to mindfulness and other meditations, okay, what we also can really do to improve our well-being is to spend time in nature. So spending time in nature, as we walk in nature, your eyes have to move left and right and left and right as you scan your environment. And they've actually found, using brain scans, whenever we walk in nature and this whole thing happens, our brain starts processing information. So it helps us to process the events of the day, process emotions a little bit more adaptively. So spending time in nature, I think particularly if you can walk barefoot in nature, it really helps us to just release a lot, process a lot, and just really cultivate better mental well-being. And then of course we also really want some support. With support, it means that we want to offer support and you want to receive support. So volunteering, perhaps at your church or community center or at your school. They did this study with people who had treatment-resistant depression. So medication wasn't working, therapy wasn't working. Instead, they asked them to give advice to other people with depression. And they actually found that had the biggest impact on their levels of depression as well. So sometimes when we feel bad, the best way to feel better is actually to go help other people. And this, of course, then helps us to grow that support network, to feel better about ourselves, about making the world a better place, about being that change that we all want to see. And then, of course, also us getting the support. So making sure that, you know, us supporting others, we also get supported by our family, by our friends. And if you don't have those friends and you don't have family and you don't feel that there are community members who can support you, finding some support from perhaps a pastor or a social worker or a therapist to help you through these times. So really, in short, remembering that we are all plants. And if you are not blossoming, look at your environment and look at what needs to change. In that respect, really, our mental illness, our stress, our anxiety, they really are our friends. That's your body's warning system, the red flags, that something in your environment isn't really conducive to your well-being. So looking at those things, looking at your levels of stress, looking at your levels of depression, and using those as signs to really assess what in your environment needs to change. And then cultivating these daily habits that can really help you just be more optimally well. So journal, write, meditate, exercise, eat right, really give back to your community, cultivate those hobbies, and really be part of your community, integrate. And in that way, we know that we are cultivating our internal resources as well as our external resources and improving our resilience in the face of adversity.